Okay, I think we're going to get started. Good morning. I'm going to pray before we go. All right, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time together. Lord, I just pray that you would draw our hearts closer to you, that you would draw our hearts closer to our children, to our family, Lord. And yeah, that we would be able to lead them and guide them in truth and in love, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we're talking about meal planning, and you might wonder why that's important. It's said that if you fail to plan, that you plan to fail, and I found that to be true in life. If you don't have a plan, sometimes things can go sideways. So I have a few tips. I just found these online. I found it at familydinnerproject.org, but there's a lot of studies that talk about the importance of the family dinner. And it says the benefits of a family dinner, ages 1 through 5, that conversation at the dinner table, even at a very young age, up to the age of 5, it's better than reading to children to boost their vocabulary and helping them to read. So for your littles, having a family dinner is good for their vocabulary skills. Kids who start eating dinner with the family are less likely to be overweight later. And with new parents, when you develop a family ritual of coming to the dinner table at night, it helps make you more satisfied, even in your marriage. That's what studies show. For children age 6 to 12, the benefit of a family dinner is there's a strong link between family dinners and academic performance. They say even stronger than doing homework or sports or art, that having dinner as a family helps with academic performance. There is an increased intake of fruits, vegetables, and micronutrients, and fewer fried foods and trans fats and soda, they say statistically, if you're having dinner as a family at the table. And children feel more connected to their siblings and to their parents when you're having dinner as a family, ages 6 to 12. For children ages 13 to 18, the benefit of family dinner is that teenagers who eat regularly with their family are more likely to get A's in school, so the academic increase continues. They have reduced high-risk behavior like smoking, substance abuse, eating disorders, teen pregnancy, and violence just by having dinner as a family. It reduces depression and anxiety and increases self-esteem. So the dinner table is a fantastic place to connect with your family. It's a fantastic opportunity to feel a sense of belonging. So the table is important, coming together as much as you can. My husband worked shift works for many, many years. He was not always home at dinner, but we always tried once a day to have a meal together. If it was at noon, because we homeschooled, we could, whatever that looked like. We tried to prioritize that before I even knew these statistics. Well, when I first came to Chiang Mai, I walked into Big C, and it was time to go grocery shopping. And I was so overwhelmed by what I saw. I didn't see anything on the shelf that looked familiar. The labels were all in Thai, not English. And there was an entire aisle just for oil. I didn't have a box for this. And I was overwhelmed, and I didn't know what to do or how to cook in this country. So I have slowly figured these things out, and we're going to brainstorm today at the end of my talk. We're going to brainstorm and come up with your own meal plan, but we are going to meal plan today, and that has saved me in so many ways, because sometimes you just don't know what to cook, right? Like, what am I doing? Oh my goodness, it's 3 o'clock. I've been busy all day. There's nothing in the fridge. What am I going to do? So we're going to come up with a plan that's workable, and you want to be realistic whenever you are making a meal plan, because life happens. Maybe you had a really long doctor's appointment and you didn't get to get home in time to make dinner. So having a backup plan is a good idea. And anytime if you have this beautiful laid out plan and life happens and you get busy, you want to have some flexibility in your schedule. So I like to plan a month ahead. I plan a month of meals at a time. And it does take some time, but once you've done this a little bit, it becomes easy. It actually is a time saver. I worked for many years. I homeschooled full-time. I was with my kids full-time, but I also worked as a florist or a youth pastor for 8 years. So I was in the office 15 hours a week for 8 years while I'm bringing my kids up. And I didn't have time to go to the grocery store every day. Like, I had to have a plan. So it takes a little bit of planning up front to meal plan, but once it's there, it's automated and it becomes easy. So I was going to like type this up and make it pretty, but the truth is this is my monthly meal plan. I like markers because they're pretty. It makes me happy to have colorful things. That is not necessary. The way I meal plan is I start by brainstorming. Okay, so you want to think about what do I want to eat? What do my kids like to eat? What does my family like to eat? What is in season right now? What can I get at an affordable rate? Or if you go to the store and you find pork loin on sale, right? Like, and you want to take advantage of that and buy a big pork loin. How can I prepare it now? So starting with what you want to cook, that's what this is. And in my plan, it's lunch and dinner. I cook twice a day in Thailand. In the U.S., it's cheap to make sandwiches. And sometimes my kids will, like, I would just tell them, you're on your own, figure it out. You know, they can figure it out. Maybe there's leftovers. Maybe there's ramen. Who doesn't love ramen, right? But mostly I like to make sure I'm feeding them healthy things. And so I do plan to cook. One thing that I like to do is to cook once and eat twice. So if I get a big pork loin, I might put that in the crock pot and we might have barbecue pork sandwiches and I'll have some marinated cucumbers and corn on the cob with that, maybe some watermelon, and that's a fun, easy meal that feeds a crowd too, if you ever need to feed a crowd. But with the leftovers, we may make tacos with the meat, or we may make enchiladas, right? So figuring out what your family likes is the first step, and just write it all down, okay? So that's the first thing I do, and then I decide, like, what I'm going to cook each week. So to make it simple, sometimes I like to make categories. So often on Mondays, we don't eat meat. Like, there's a lot of vegetarian things that I like. Quinoa bowls with sweet potatoes and pickled beets, chickpeas, right? There are a lot of good vegetarian options that are still high in protein. So sometimes on Mondays, we don't have meat for dinner. On Tuesdays are hard for me. So if we talk about life happening, I'm here at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays, and 6 o'clock is dinner time at my house. So it's really hard. So I plan ahead and I make sure, it always irritates me if we're eating super late because I want to be in bed, right? I'm done with the day and I don't want to have to eat and go to bed full. So I try to eat at 5 on Tuesdays, and that takes starting a little sooner, right? Again, we're planning ahead. So something easy on Tuesdays is important for me. On Wednesdays, my husband and I usually go out. So my kids, I had to make sure that they have something that they can cook themselves. This summer, it's easy because they're all gone this summer. So I do what I want on Wednesdays now. But we love Mexican food. So on Thursdays, we eat Mexican. And that could be tacos or salads or enchiladas or burritos or fajitas are a really easy thing to do for not too much money, and the ingredients are easy to find here. And then on Fridays, typically, we cook things that remind us of home. So that could be pork sliders or burgers and fries. I might make shepherd's pie or pizza. We have pizza a lot on Fridays. just something that reminds me of home. So having in mind that on Saturday at lunch, we're going to have soup and salad or salad and sandwiches, right? Having in mind a category can help make it feel less overwhelming when you're planning, when you're meal planning. Yeah, and I leave room for life. So what I mean by that is that I have this that I honestly just almost repeat this all the time. When I'm making a plan, I go back to this every time. If there's maybe something I've wanted to try, like, oh, I saw a recipe for some homemade marinara that looked really good. I want to have pasta this week. I'll write that on my list. And then I write down what I want in, ideally for the month, and I have this written down. And then when I go to plan my week, I do it week by week. Because sometimes, like last night, we went to a friend's house for dinner, and it was sort of last minute, so I had plans for food, and now I have extra food. Well, that's easy. I'll cook that today, right? And so it buys you time, actually, and you can't shop for a month of food. It won't fit in a Thai refrigerator. Let's start there, right? But also, your fresh produce might go bad. So what I do is I have my plan, my ideal month, if I'm just on top of everything and it looks so pretty and good. This is what my month is going to look like. But honestly, things get in the way. So I will just take a week at a time for my grocery shopping. So on Sunday afternoons, this is when I do it. It doesn't have to be when you do it. But I find if I start at the beginning of the week and make a plan, if I don't do that, I feel like I'm trying to catch up the whole week. Like everything's just happening to me instead of me leading. So I like to start on Sundays, and I make a plan for the week. And then on Monday morning, I go shopping. I get what I need. And here in Thailand, I love the Royal Project Market, especially if I'm going to pickle jalapenos or make homemade pasta sauce. You can get really big things of produce for very cheap. So that's where I start. But often they don't have everything that I need. They never have everything that I need. But not far from there is Mejia. So then I hit Mejia and I get whatever fresh fruits and veg that I still need and whatever specialty ingredients you can find at Rimping. So that's my typical Monday. I do typically go to Macro once every 2 to 3 weeks. And Macro is a great place to buy meat and a lot of like items that are larger quantity. So I don't need larger quantity anymore. There's not as many people in my house as there once was, but we still like to stock up on drinks and snacks. And you can find a lot of things there. So I will typically go to the store once a week, but sometimes you got to make a Macro run on top of that. But if I know what I'm eating for the month, I'll have all my meat bought already and put in the freezer. And then that's another tip. Start with what you have, right? When you're meal planning, when your Sunday comes or whatever day it is for you, when you're planning your week, start with what's in your pantry. Like, oh, I've had this tahini for a while. We should make hummus this week. You know, whatever that looks like. Sometimes at the Laughing Monkey or Chiang Mai Gourmet, I'll get excited and I'll just buy, I want to try it all. And then I'll have like 12 packages of different types of meatballs or sausages. So we need to eat that. I'm going to make potatoes and cabbage and sausage this week or whatever. So start with what you have. That's one thing when you're planning. Make a plan. That's a big one. And as you know what you're going to cook through the week, then you can decide what you need to put on your grocery list. We're going to practice this in just a moment, but I just want to encourage you. It can be overwhelming, I understand, but just start with what you have, right? Start with what you have and use what you've done in the past as inspiration, or maybe there'll be inspiration today, some fun things that you might want to try as you're shopping. Weekly, be prepared to bump a meal if you have to. That's it. Be flexible. It's not It can be overwhelming, but it's really not that hard. So I hope this has been encouraging. So we're going to brainstorm together and individually what it is our families like to eat. Okay? So in my house, for example, we like to eat chili. We like to eat baked potatoes with ham and broccoli and cheese and sour cream. We like to eat frittata, eggs with cheese and vegetables and meat and fresh fruit. We like to eat pizza. We like to eat a lot of pizza. We like to eat burgers and, gosh. So I would just write down 20 or 30 meals. That's what I'm going to help these ladies do today. We're going to write down 20 to 30 meals, and then we're going to group them together. So this is what I mean by cooking once and eating twice. So for me, for example, I like to make, it's called a gyro chicken bowl. And it's just Mediterranean-style vegetables with tzatziki sauce and fresh tomatoes and red onion and cucumber on quinoa with cooked chicken and feta, okay? But that cooked chicken is an opportunity to not have to cook again. So as I'm cooking my Greek chicken for my gyro bowls, I will cook a bunch of chicken as well. Like, I do it in the oven, and I might marinate some of it in balsamic vinegar, or I might just have it plain. But if I'm cooking chicken, I'm cooking chicken for maybe 4 or 5 meals. So that when I want to throw together a buffalo chicken salad, I just take my already cooked chicken, toss it with Frank's hot sauce, put it on lettuce with carrots and celery and some blue cheese if I'm feeling extra, and I usually am feeling extra. And if I have time, maybe I make croutons, or I buy croutons at Rimping if I don't have time, right? So that's what I mean by cooking once and eating twice, planning ahead. Ground beef is a really easy way to cook once and eat twice, to plan ahead. If you brown ground meat, ground beef, you can use that for tacos or chili or lasagna or pasta sauce, like whatever you like. So chicken I do in bulk like that. If I'm going to cook chicken, I'm going to cook it for 4 to 5 meals. Same thing with ground beef. In Thailand, that might look like ground pork because it's a lot cheaper. Sometimes I mix it if I'm feeling like I really just want some beef. Sometimes I mix it. But also the pork tenderloins are an easy way to do it in the crock pot, and you can cook that up in a billion different ways. So we're going to have a tabletop now. And so thank you for listening. And God bless you.